Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Even though you make payroll every Friday, you don't have a guaranteed paycheck. You're the owner, and you eat what you kill. Welcome back. It's 13 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you're listening and you're interested in my new website, which is coming out pretty soon, check that site. Do me a favor and check for the new site as often as you can. And when you, if you think of it, when it comes up, if the new one is green and black, those are the primary colors, and the old one is red, white, and blue. So if you see that, when you see that, drop me an email, some of you, and let me know that you got the new website, because I'd like to know. The reason I'm asking this, you to do this for me, is I'd like to know when it's hitting your part of the world. Be sure to put in there, you know, what state you live in, or what part of the, what quadrant of the country you live in, or the world that you live in, because that way I can tell how long. I'm doing a little bit of research, actually. I'm trying to decide, trying to find out, I should say, how long it's taking my website to work, to ripple, as the webmasters say, to ripple through the system. And I'd really like to know how long that's happening, because that's information that you need to know. All right, let's talk to Jack Harbor. Jack has been with us before. He's got over 25 years of sales management and training experience in both products and services. He spent a number of years with General Electric, and in 1992, he became a Sandler franchise, and he started his company called Sandler Training Institute. Jack Harbor, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
It's good to have you with us. And take a half a minute and tell us about your organization and how it's structured.
Well, we are a franchise, so there are about 180 independent businessmen like me around the country. In my organization, we actually have three franchisees, three independent businessmen sharing this space, so we mm-hmm. can offer more training more often at bigger facilities for our clients, mm-hmm. which is a little bit unusual. We have three competitors in the same office.
So you guys actually compete for the same business, don't you?
More or less.
Yeah.
But the business, there's a lot of people out there, and we don't run into each other as much as you would think.
Do you complement each other, other than in the economy of scales?
Yes, I think we do. My background is more technical. After 15 years at GE, my preference is to work with smaller companies where mm-hmm. I think I can have a bigger impact.
Mm-hmm.
And my partner's background is, and his preference is to work with the corporations where he does more on-site training.
Right.
So we do most of my training consists of people coming to me in kind of mixed groups.
Mm-hmm. I see.
They mixed up groups, but that didn't sound right.
All right. Let me ask you, how often, what's the gender mix of the Sandler franchisees? How many women?
You know, that's interesting. Until probably 5 years ago, there was only one woman, literally, franchisee. And it's probably now, 25% women-owned, another 10 or 15% that are husband and wife co-owners.
Yeah.
And so probably 50 or 60 or whatever is left
mm-hmm.
is male owner.
Very interesting. We'll talk about this a little bit more later on. Jack, I want to get into some of the rules that you and I have been talking about, some salesmanship rules. When you were here last, we had just sort of gotten started talking about one of the rules that you guys talk about, and that's the way to get rid of a bomb is to defuse it before it blows up. And that's the title of your tip. And we had spent just a little bit of time last time talking about that. And I wanted to talk a little bit more about that.
Sure. There's an awful lot of training and trainers that say never bring up an objection.
Mm-hmm.
But our contention is if it's going to come up anyway, if you are not the least expensive vendor, or if you are backed up and won't be able to deliver it as quickly as some others, or if, you know, whatever it is that is causing you some concern at the call is probably going to be making you nervous anyway, waiting for the question to come up.
Right.
So
you're waiting for that other shoe to drop.
That's right. Our suggestion is to bring it up under your control before it becomes an emotional issue for both parties.
Control. I want you to say that word again. I want to talk about that some more, because the key to success in selling is for you to have control of the call. Now, that doesn't mean that you do all the talking. That doesn't mean that you intimidate this person and make them do your bidding. It means that you go into the call knowing where you want to go, and pretty much you stay in control of that agenda. Now, that doesn't mean that you go in exactly the direction you can't always go in the exact direction that you thought you were going to go in, because sometimes the customer gives you new information. But basically, wherever you wander with this customer, it's because you are in control of that.
That's absolutely true. Some very good salespeople, and unfortunately this is a minority, and they certainly aren't people we can learn from, shoot from the hip on sales calls. And some of them are successful doing that, so that no two sales calls are alike. The problem is that you can't learn from a sales call. So that if you have an agenda and you stick to it, and kind of, like you say, go with the flow with the prospect, at least you know where you're going, and you know whether you've gotten there when you're done. So, I mean, you can measure your success and you can learn from each sales call that way.
Well, control could be simply, I'm going to make sure that I learn the information that I need before I leave there. And so it doesn't mean that you didn't go in saying, I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 down these steps.
Oh.
You just isn't that right, Jack? I mean,
absolutely.
You just know that you're going to accomplish your goals, and it might be to make a sale, or it might be just to become introduced to this person.
Well, we have what Sandra says, that there are four outcomes of any sales call. One is a yes, the other is a no. Third one is a clear future. In other words, we and the prospect know what's going to happen next.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth one is, if you didn't get one of those, David Sandler used to say, hopefully at least you got a lesson. You learned something from the call. But you ought to have the objective of at least both of you agreeing to why you're there, and at the end knowing what's going to happen next, even if that's a no.
Right. Now, I want to talk about some of the tools, some of the techniques, some of the wording that you use to defuse one of these bombs. And we're going to take a quick break here in just a few seconds. Jack, stand by. Folks, we're going to be right back in just a couple of minutes. When we come back, we're going to get Jack to tell us, and I'm going to add a couple of mine in there, how to defuse this bomb before it blows up. You are in control of that. Don't forget, 888-822-8255. We'll be right back with our good friend Jack Harper. We are back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. And you're listening to the show that is dedicated to providing small business owners with the maximum opportunity to be successful. And one of the people who helps us do that is our friend Jack Harbour. He is a professional sales trainer, and that's what we're talking about, salesmanship. And Jack, we were talking about how to defuse a bomb before it blows up on you, and basically you're talking about, when you say a bomb, you're talking about an objection that could be a derailer, an objection that could be catastrophic to your plan.
Yes.
Tell us about some things that you can say. How would you bring these up? Because, as you say, no one really wants to bring up a problem. In fact, a lot of you and I would probably get an argument out of a lot of really successful professional salespeople, sales trainers, who would say never bring up something the customer doesn't bring up.
I'm sure we would. I'm sure.
But
we would.
I agree with you. Talk to us about some ways to defuse this bomb.
Well, the way I like to do it is, again, before we're both emotionally involved.
Mm-hmm.
When I still have more to learn about the prospect's need, and when they still have more to learn about me, and before I have to start worrying about how to handle that objection that may be a fatal one.
And when you've still got time to do something about it.
Absolutely.
That's the key, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, and so when I bring it up, there's two things. I do not want to take a position. In other words, I don't want to take a position that my way is right and theirs is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because that will just start an arm wrestling match. I want to make sure that they understand that I recognize there are two possible positions, and I want to make sure that we can live with them. So I might say something like, at the beginning of the meeting, not at the very beginning, but early on, Jim, I'm enjoying the time here, but before we spend a lot more time together, I need to tell you that I'm not going to be the least expensive sales trainer you can get. And some people are looking for quick, inexpensive fixes. Mm-hmm. Before I take a lot of your time and waste it for you, do you mind if I ask, are you looking for that kind of approach?
Mm-hmm.
And most people won't say at that point, yes, I am looking for an expensive, or yes, I need it delivered tomorrow afternoon at 3. They're also looking for other things, and this is the opportunity to find out what those other things are.
It could be price. It could be shipping terms. It could be colors. It could be size. It could be quality. It could be, a lot of different things. Whatever. And if you're a professional, if you know your industry, and you know the customers, the profile, not the customer you're talking to as well now, but you know the profile of this customer, you know what his competitors like or her competitors like, it's your job to know what these time bombs are, isn't it?
I think so. Now, it's tough if you're brand new in the business, but you'll certainly won't take long to find out what they are.
That's right. That's right.
And you're absolutely right, Jim. It's very important that you know not only your competition, but you know your customers' competition as well, because they're the ones who are buying. They're the ones whose points of view your customer is probably more interested in.
If you've got a business that takes a little bit extra, let's say you represent a manufacturer that is the highest quality in the business, and that's the good news.
Mm-hmm.
The bad news is that two things are bad news. Number one, you're a little bit higher. Number two, it takes an extra 2 or 3 days to get it to the customer because it's custom built, let's just say, for example.
Right.
And there's a competitor who's having a certain amount of success who produces a product of a little less quality, and they get it out quicker. They can deliver it, let's say, the next day, and it's cheaper. Now, it sounds to me like that they've got 2 out of 3 and you've got 1 out of 3. So what you've got to do is you've got to go to your customer, and without saying that person's name, without saying that company's name, you've got to say something like, how important is quick delivery time to you?
Yep.
Don't presume that it is important. That's the biggest mistake you can make, isn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, and absolutely. And unfortunately, our position is to take a defensive posture.
Yes.
And a defensive posture, I think, causes the prospect to take a defensive posture as well, and we're kind of arm wrestling then. I don't want to tell them what ought to be important to them. I want to find out what is.
Well, and they're liable. And if they say to you, okay, what's your delivery schedule? And you say, well, our standard terms are 1 week from the day you give us the order. And if you know that you've got a competitor that delivers it in 3 days, then it's your job to say, how does that delivery schedule fit into your plans?
Absolutely.
Into your operation.
Couldn't have said it better, Jim.
We got a few more things we want to talk about, Jack. I know you have too, about diffusing these time bombs, folks. You've got to be able to do it. Otherwise, you're going to get to the day of closing the sale, and you won't get the business because you didn't know something. 29 after the hour, we're going to be right back with our good friend Jack Harbor. 888-822-8255. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after. Thank you very much for being here today. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Jack Harbor is our guest and our good friend. He is the president of Sandler Training Institute. Jack, I would like for you to tell our audience how they can contact you if they'd like to know more about maybe about Sandler, how to become a franchisee for the Sandler Institute, and also how to contact you if they'd like to use your services in sales training.
Well, I can give you 2 800 numbers, although you could call me for both.
Let's do
Sandler,
that.
Sandler Systems, our headquarters, our franchisor, is in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And their number is 800-638-5686. And
I'm sure they've got franchisees all over the country.
And they do. Some of the territories, like Maryland right now, I'm not sure. Well, there may be available. Don't assume that they're not available in your location.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not as up on that.
Okay.
But there are opportunities all over the country. And if you want more information, either about a franchise or about the sales training itself, I can be reached at 888-307-1919.
And in your Maryland area there, there's a local number.
In the Maryland area, it's 301-590-8700, and I'm on extension 11.
Okay, sounds good. And I'm sure you'll be glad to help anyone who has a question or anything like that. Do you have an email address?
I do. I appreciate it. It's jhaber, J-H-A-U-B-E-R, at sandler.com.
Okay. Thank you. Jack, let's talk just a little bit more about this bomb thing, this defusing the bomb. And I really, really think this is so important because so many, you know, you were talking earlier about people who are new to the business, new to the industry, or new to selling. One of the biggest mistakes they make is they put off the hard questions. When if they would ask them early on, they wouldn't become hard questions. And
absolutely.
And so make sure that if you believe, you know, it's almost kind of interesting to see this little tension between the salesperson and the customer, this tension between I've got a problem that I want him to ask me about, this salesman to ask me about, and the salesman is saying, I don't want to ask them that because I don't want to, because it might not even come up. You're fooling yourself. You're deluding yourself to thinking that it won't come up. And there's this little tension back and forth, isn't there?
There really is. I think we really do delude ourselves. I had a client once who said, boy, if I said at the beginning, my price isn't the lowest one available, that may get them thinking about something I don't want them thinking about. Well,
yeah.
If the prospect is not stupid, he's going to be thinking about that and a lot of other things. And what it does is it does take the pressure off. I very much like the way you worded it. Address it before it does become a real problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because the longer it lasts, the bigger the problem could become.
One of the things that I never did, though, I never said that I was the highest or I wasn't as cheap as others unless the customer brought that up. What I tried to do was find out what their position is on value. Are they a person who, are they someone who can recognize value? And they will say things to you during your conversation. People that you talk to, if you ask them the right questions, you will hear them making value comments. And or are they someone who knows the price of everything and the value of nothing?
And there are people like that.
And you need to find out who this person is. Because if they are a commodity buyer, in other words, they don't care what it looks like or what kind of quality it is, all they want is the lowest price. Regardless, there are people who need to be buying quality, and you know they need to be buying quality. But if they won't buy it, you can forget it. And so you might as well either find them something that they can buy from you or move on.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We talk once by analogy in our class that the Nordstrom's shopper and the Kmart shopper are probably two different people.
Yeah.
And Nordstrom doesn't try to attract the Kmart shopper. They try to do the best job they can for their
right.
for their prospects.
Right. And, you know, there's this thing about price point. There are people that won't buy a certain product if it's not at a certain price point, and I'm talking about up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they'll think they know what something is worth, and if the price is not right, if it's not at a certain level, then they'll say, you know, that must not be the quality that I'm looking for.
And I deep down, if you ask 100 people how they buy things, price is in probably 95 of them not the leading indicator. I've heard studies about this, and I wish I could quote them exactly.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But prices, people buy for other reasons, and price can't be out of line. But it isn't the leading, it isn't their primary motivator.
In over 30 years as a professional in the marketplace, Jack, I have never, ever had the cheapest price.
Yep, good.
I've never had that luxury. But I tell you what, it makes you sharp. It makes you be a better salesperson. Let's move on and talk about something you say is selling is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Selling is a self-fulfilling prophecy.
That is an interesting one, and it's one that that we spend a lot of time working on in the Sandler training. If I were to take, Jim, a group of people and ask them how they bought a car, some people would take weeks and months to do it. They'd analyze, they'd look at the blue book, they'd test drive, they'd visit dealers, they'd know the invoice prices, and they'd know that the dealer rebates. Other folks would maybe take an afternoon because they know they might be able to save a couple $100 if they kept doing that, but it just wasn't worth their time. And they found a car they liked, they were comfortable with, and they bought it. And it sounds like we got to finish this in a minute.
Yeah, hold on to that thought, Jack. We're going to finish up talking about selling as a self-fulfilling prophecy, and this is all built around the prospect's timing. What's their timing? And you need to know that. It's 39 after the hour.
We're going to be right back with our good friend Jack Hopper, 888-822-8255. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 888-822-8255. We are back. It's 44 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. 888-822-8255 is my phone number, toll-free coast-to-coast here on the show. And my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Jack Harbour is our guest, and we're talking about salesmanship. But before we get back into that, I want to remind you about some of the folks who are coming up to be with us later in the week. Jan Yeager is going to be joining us again. We're going to be talking about creative time management for the new millennium, which is also her new book. And time management is on her mind, and we're going to be making it on our mind coming up next. Also, after that, Tim Berry is going to be joining us with one of his folks, one of his employees, I think his son perhaps. And they're going to talk to us about how to create and manage a successful website, a commercial website. Their website is very successful, bplans.com. PaloAlto.com is the home website. And Tim's going to be joining us. After that, David Scheer is going to be joining us to talk to us about how to collect debts and still keep your customers. And Roger Volkoma after that to talk to us about being a better negotiator. Jack, let's get back into selling as a self-fulfilling prophecy. You were telling us that sometimes customers have a different time frame than we do.
Well, that's always true. Let me just take it, because this will impact where I was headed. What the example I was using was that some people buy spending a lot of time in analyzing, and some people do it quickly. And if I am a salesperson who spends a lot of time analyzing, I am more likely to accept that explanation from a prospect than if I buy things quickly. In other words, if I buy things quickly and a prospect says to me, I'd like to think it over, I might just say, can you help me understand why?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I buy that same way, I would probably say in the back of my head, I sure can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you believe that people need to think it over, a purchase over, you're more likely to accept that. If you believe your price might be too high for too many clients, you're likely to accept that. If you believe that they need it delivered, every prospect needs it delivered the next day, and you can only do it in a week, your head is wrong when you start the sales meeting.
And believe it or not, you will influence that customer's decision, won't you?
You absolutely will. That's why we call it a self-fulfilling prophecy.
And without even knowing it. You probably don't even realize that you're doing that.
You probably don't. You don't ask the questions the right way. You don't. Your face, your body language, and everything would accept their would indicate to them that that's okay.
If you've got a product that you don't like, you won't sell it. Everybody else may like it, but you, if you don't like it, you probably won't sell it.
Absolutely true.
If you think your product is too high, you won't sell the high-priced items that are the good profit margin items.
That's absolutely true, and yet somebody in your organization is doing it,
mm-hmm.
and the difference is the individual, not the prospect.
Have you ever had a salesperson to say to you, when you walk over and put your hand on some product, and they say, oh yes, that's our high dollar item, or that's our most expensive model, or something like that. Have you ever had them say that to you?
I have. I don't train that.
That blows you. That blows me away when they do that. How do they know what I think is expensive? That's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Absolutely.
That tells me more about them than they ever could learn about me.
Unfortunately, for many of us, it would cause us to remove our hand from the product and not continue investigating it. Whereas
yeah.
if the salesperson had said, there must be something about that product that intrigued you, can I ask what it is?
One of the coolest things that can happen to you as a salesperson is for somebody to walk up or to ask about a particular item that is your very top of the line, your most expensive item, and they say how much, and then whenever you get around to telling them, you know, they don't even blink. They just say, okay, I'll take one.
Yep.
And then at that moment, that's when you say, I wonder how many of these I've been missing because I was presuming what they thought was expensive.
And presented it that way.
Yeah.
And it, because if you really think that's expensive, you're going to present it in a way that makes it sound like there may not be value associated with that price.
If you present a product or a service with an apology, which is what we're talking about,
that's, yeah.
you will be, then your prospect or your customer will assume that something is wrong, and they'll accept your apology and go away.
Yeah, that's right. I appreciate your apology. I think I'll look someplace.
Yeah, thank you for telling me before I got started doing business with you that I wasn't going to be happy with this. That's defeating yourself before you even get started.
And on the other hand, if you believe it's a great product, if you believe it's worth every penny, if you believe that the customized aspect of it that takes an extra 3 days to deliver is the only way for clients to go, that will also show.
And you've got to learn to sell around those objections that you know if they're not mentioned that they're going to be coming up. You've got to be prepared for that by talking about the benefits, converting the features into benefits.
If I can, yes, if I can add one kind of caveat to that.
Go ahead.
As long as it's not a Walmart shopper trying to convert a Kmart buyer.
Yeah.
I think it's important to know what's important to your prospect.
Mm-hmm. But that and that all is found. All that information is found out hopefully early on as you introduce yourself and get to know this prospect.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Jack, stand by. We're going to take a break, folks. It's 50 after the hour. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. When we come back, we're going to talk about never defend, justify, or explain as we help you become more successful in selling. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Jack Harbor. We'll be right back. We are all the people after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate. And my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Just remember the name of the show. We'll put the words all together. Normal stuff on the front and the back. And Jack Harbor has a website. Actually, you have an email. Give us that email, Jack.
J. Hauber, J-H-A-U-B-E-R, at Sandler.com.
And if you have any questions or comments, you'd like to send that to Jack, and give us your two phone numbers quickly.
Two phone numbers. My local for people in the Washington, D.C., Maryland area is 301-590-8700, extension 11. And the 800 number is 888-307-1919.
All right. Thanks, Jack. Never defend, justify, or explain. What does that mean?
Well, this is one that we spend a couple hours on, Jim. Let me try it quickly. When you are defending in a position or justifying your position, the implication can be that the other person's position is wrong. And a lot of sales training, unfortunately, is built around how to block and parry objections and how to defend your position in such a way that the prospect finally has to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Our approach is to find out more about the prospect's position. For example, if your prospect says your price is high and you immediately defended your position, you haven't learned what he means by that.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to, instead of defending our position or justifying a price or talking about the value that they obviously didn't see because they weren't paying attention, we ask them more about what their concern is about the price.
Remember that defend is the root word of defensive.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're being defensive, you are losing.
Absolutely true.
You're on your heels. You are retreating. You are, and it won't be too long before you are out of there, or at least you're rendered unviable by that prospect.
And you made the point very clearly in the last section here we were just doing. Sometimes the prospect says your price is high, and you say something like, well, I appreciate your honesty. Could you tell me more about that? And they say, absolutely. We're looking for something that, you know, we all we've seen to this point is cheap stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we finally found something that gives us what we're looking for, even if it is at a higher price.
I typically like to buy quality things because I believe that you pay a little bit more, you get a little better product, and it'll last longer.
Mm-hmm.
That's been my experience, and I like doing that whenever I can. But there are times when some applications, I know that I'm going to basically throw this away in 3 months or 6 months or 30 minutes or whatever, and so I don't want to spend the extra money. And anybody who's been selling to me they don't need to take that for granted. They need to ask me what I'm going to do with this product.
Absolutely.
What are my motivations?
Paper towels are a good example. If I'm buying paper towels to wipe up oil spots on the garage floor, I get cheap. If I'm buying paper towels for the kitchen for taking care of my house, I buy the stuff that's quality.
What are some other things we can do to keep from justifying or explaining? What are some things we can do in advance? We've got about 30 seconds.
The best thing to do in advance, Jim, takes us back to rule one. If there's something we always end up justifying and explaining, it may be one of those things we want to bring up early on before we're emotionally involved.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's a matter of, like learning any profession, it's a matter of practice.
If you are wondering whether you're doing a good job of qualifying your prospect at the beginning, if you get to the end and you have to defend, justify, or explain, you need to go back and polish up on your qualifying.
Very well said.
Yeah. And unfortunately, Jack, that's got to be the last word. We're going to have you back in 2 or 3 weeks, and we'll talk some more about salesmanship. Will you do that for us?
I absolutely will. Look forward to it, Jim.
Thanks, Jack.
Thank you.
Good to talk to you. You did well today. Jack Harbert, ladies and gentlemen, with the Sandler Training Institute out of the Maryland area, out of near D.C. Gotta wrap it up for this hour, folks. Before we go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.